Join us for the second annual AFA at the Arc.
Myself and Tony Ventagliano, his family and my family, and several of the other staff members of AFA.
Tickets include transportation from the hotel to the museums, both tours, and special presentations by Answers and Genesis speakers. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at a discounted price with the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel. To register, go to afa.net/events and join us for AFA at the Arc.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Yes, I have some lobster and some chowder.
Lobster and chowder.
Lobster and chowder. This is Tim Wildman, your New England correspondent here. Anyway, good to be back home. Tim Wildman here. The program is Today's Issues. You're listening to on the American Family Radio Network. Ed Ventagliano joins me. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Hey, good morning, and welcome back.
Thank you. Fred Jackson.
Yes, good to see you back. You sent a few pictures from your trip.
I got carried away.
That's okay.
I was loving it.
Yeah. What, for those who don't know, and I know there's many who don't care, but Allison, my wife, and I, we celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary. Well, yesterday was the day.
Yeah.
The particular day. But back in June or May or something, we started talking, what do we want to do that's different? It would be so easy for us to go to the beach, believe me.
Right.
Because we love the beach.
Kind of the default.
Default, rest and relaxation. But we said, hey, no, let's venture out. Let's do something neither one of us, go somewhere neither one of us have ever been. And this is 40th. So
kind of special, memorable.
You know, so we decided we'll go to Boston and we wanted to New England. And so we ventured out from the city there, but we went to stayed in Boston and just loved it. We went to Plymouth. We went to Gloucester.
Gloucester. Yep.
Gloucester, just a fishing village there.
Did you go to the USS Constitution?
We did. We did the Freedom Trail.
Freedom Trail.
We walked the Freedom Trail, and which just, if you love history, you're just blown away.
Yeah.
Okay. You know that, but you grew up there.
Yeah.
And in the Boston area. So we did it all, and culminating with a trip to baseball heaven. On Friday night, we went to watch the New York Yankees. Known as the Evil Empire.
You went to Fenway Park.
Yes, we did. Heard a lot of that.
Yes.
Fenway Park, which I'm a huge baseball historian.
Yeah.
And I love and so to go there and experience a game on a 82-degree night with the hated Yankees in town.
Yeah.
And there was some Yankee fans there, as there always are, you know.
Probably well-behaved.
No, they weren't. They were obnoxious. I'm sure that isn't indicative of all Yankee fans. But
right.
They were booed down by the Red Sox fans. Pushed back.
Oh, yeah.
those Bostonians, they don't back down either. So it was, but it was just, that is the oldest baseball park in America, 1912. Yep. Wrigley Field was built in 1914 in Chicago. I want to do that one day, too.
Yep.
I've never been there. But it was just a wonderful time. So, with the exception of two or three people who honked at us, but that's common to all big cities, am I right?
Yes.
They love using the horn.
The light turns green, and it doesn't matter if you – put your foot on the gas right away. Someone's honking. You're not fast enough.
I don't know what people in big cities would do if the horns were taken away. the honking of the horn. There was one fella. Okay. So we're, and of course, when you're navigating a big city and you've never been there for the first time, and you're 61 years old, and I am, that's not too old, I don't think.
Right.
But of course, none of us think we're old.
Yes.
But and Allison's over here, and we're trying to navigate getting around the city for the first time. You got your foot on the brake, man.
Yeah.
You don't want to run over somebody and ruin your whole, you know, or put your rental car into, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So we're turning right. You can't go right on red, by the way, in Boston.
Probably all of Massachusetts.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very communist in that way.
Yes.
I think, but.
That's not the only way. They're communist in a lot of ways, but go ahead.
Well, they're the nicest communists up there.
Yeah.
They're very polite people and very, very helpful. But this guy was representative of the maybe the 2 or 3% who didn't care for me being there, even though my license tag said Massachusetts.
Yeah.
But I was turning right. Okay, so as we're turning right, guy behind me, there is a man walking across the street in front of my car.
A pedestrian.
A pedestrian who I'm sure he wanted to live that day. He didn't think he was going to be run over by a Mississippi redneck.
Right.
So as I'm turning right, you know, I brake because I don't want to run over a fellow human being with my car. And that's a natural instinct, isn't it?
Sure.
So
you did the right thing.
This jerk behind me honks.
You're starting to get the Boston attitude.
he honks. So I'm, as Allison and I get through, you know, we get through with that 60 seconds or whatever.
Yeah.
I just go, I guess the guy wanted me to run over the guy because that's you honk for somebody to go to progress so that you run over somebody.
Well, also, let me just say that there is a, in probably in big, probably all big cities, there is an attitude, I've got to get where I'm going. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes they just honk out of frustration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. And that's why you see, that's why I still do it. If someone honks behind me, I'll do this, look in the rearview mirror, and I raise my hands like, what? What do you want me to do? It's a not a green arrow. And so it's just frustration. I want to go. You can't go because of this guy. He might have been beeping his horn as much at the guy who was walking too slow as you.
Yeah. Well, it was rude. But
absolutely.
That's common to big cities, okay? But and my wife, Allison, she waved at him.
You're talking about the Mississippi wave,
I'm not talking about the other way people wave at you down when they're driving. I'm talking about it was a friendly way, but it was essence of sarcasm.
It was the meant to heap burning coals.
Yes. But overall, we went to Lighthouse, we did the Freedom Trail, went to Plymouth, went to Harvard. They won't let me in still. I went to the admissions office. They said, no. I said, I'm here to apply. They said, well, sir, you're white. I said, well, what does that have to do with anything? They said, furthermore, you're male.
Yes.
And
you're straight.
And they said, are you straight? Yeah. I said, that's three strikes right there. So there's no way you're getting in Harvard. Then they said, so you're white, straight, and male. That's three strikes. You're out of here.
So they wouldn't let you in.
But you didn't say the magic thing.
What?
You should have said, I'm a supporter of Hamas.
Well, and then I would have been able to get in.
You'd get in.
But then they said, furthermore, you look like you're a Christian.
Yes.
So, but four strikes. Can you have four strikes?
Yeah, you can in Massachusetts.
Right.
At Harvard, you can.
Okay.
But you had New England clam chowder.
Mm.
You had lobster.
Allison eats lobster. She eats lobster roll like twice a day. She loved it. That's her. It's fresh lobster right out of there.
Yeah.
From Maine and Nova Scotia and Boston and everything.
And then also you went to the North End. You ate Italian.
Oh, the Italian district?
Yeah.
They got, it's just, if you've never been there, it's a wonderful time. Just go spend a few days, and especially if you love history, but we did go. Now, before we move on to the depressing news of the day, which we've got a lot of it coming up today, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Okay. I did bring a gift back to you, Ed, because you helped me out. You and Bobby.
Oh, yeah.
Help me out. Y'all help me out. So those watching on our Today's Issues Facebook.
Wicked Awesome.
I brought Ed back a T-shirt.
Hey,
what
thank
does it
you.
Say? Yeah.
It says Wicked Awesome. It's got the Red Sox insignia.
Yeah. And that is it. It is for you and Bobby, you are big boys.
Yeah.
So I got you a double X there.
That's what I wear.
I hope you can wear
it. Most of it's
muscle. If you outgrow that, then you
don't want to die. No, I'm not outgrowing this.
Okay, I'm just going to be as your friend. I'm going to tell you.
Thank you. This is wicked awesome.
It's wicked awesome, and that's wicked was everywhere up there.
And on Fridays, we can wear T-shirts here at
right. Are you going to wear that
I'm
going to
wear it Friday.
Okay.
Hey, this is thank you. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. I gave Bobby one too.
Yeah.
Because y'all helped me out being from.
We gave you advice
on where to go and what to do. I'll tell you one other funny story. So we stopped at a, we went to Concord and Lexington.
Lexington.
Okay. Which is, you know, where kind of the birthplace of American
Revolution.
Revolution.
Yeah.
So we're filling up the car and go into this service station or this convenience store. And Allison, my wife, comes in, and she's a Mississippi girl from her birth. Okay.
Yeah.
So he goes in and she starts talking to the guy.
Yeah.
Okay. In the convenience store, you know, and he's looking down and his head pops up. He goes, that is a, he said, the Southern girl, he said, I'm going to, would you please read the phone book to me?
I love it.
You love that? Listen, oh, my wife is also born and bred Mississippian.
Right.
In my last year of Bible college, we were in California. I was going to school full-time, working part-time. My wife was working full-time. She was a receptionist for a telecommunications company out there. And she constantly, when people would call in from around the state,
right,
they would say, hey, hang on just a second. I want to put some of my coworkers on. Would you say something in Southern? They were just fascinated by her accent. So that's coast to coast, Boston, California.
That's funny.
It like is
you're,
a very
like you're a, zoo, like you're a zoo animal or something.
It's a beautiful accent, a Southern accent.
They just want to hear how y'all doing.
Yeah, that's how y'all doing.
Well, just, it was so funny. He said, would you read the phone book to me?
Can I just say just one other quick thing, folks? Just get a little patience. We're going to hit the bad news here in a second. But I went up to Boston from Mississippi in 1986. I was writing for a local newspaper, and a friend of mine, my wife's cousin, qualified for the Boston Marathon. I'll give you the short version of this. So the newspaper sent me up there to cover the homeboy, you know, runs in the Boston Marathon. So anyway, that's on Monday. We get there on Friday or Saturday. We're walking around. We go to a Dunkin' Donuts, which you find
they're on
out.
Every block.
They're New England original.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it was 9 o'clock at night. There was no one in there. There was a lady wiping down the counters. I said, I'm not sure they're open, but if they are, let's get some donuts. And so we walked in, and I'd been married to my wife by that time for 6 years. We've been living in the South. I've been living in Mississippi for a couple. And we walked in, and I said, ma'am, are y'all fixing to close?
You said that?
I said that.
Yeah.
Not realizing that I'd been Southernized. And she looked at me. She said, excuse me? I said, are y'all fixing to close?
Fix it.
And yes, the fixing part threw her. And she said, sir, I do not understand what you're asking. Because Bostonian is, are you guys going to close? That's part of the difference.
That's funny. You had been Southernized.
I've been Southernized.
So you even used the word fixing?
I use fixing.
Right. Well,
talk about cultural clash.
Yes.
That's funny. Oh, that's funny.
All right. All right. I know you're dying to it, so let's talk about drag queens, huh? All right. Is that what you want?
Next up.
Is that what you
drag
want?
Drag queens. Anyway, it was a fun time, and if you've never been to that part of the country, it's we went to a lighthouse on the rocky shores of just like you the pictures
at Gloucester, Mass.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Do tell folks how they can watch if they want to watch a
show. If you want to watch the live video stream of this show, and you have several ways to do that. You can go to Facebook and search for Today's Issues. You can go to YouTube, search for Today's Issues Live. You can go to our own AFA streaming platform. That's stream.afa.net. Or you can go to X, formerly known as Twitter, and search for American Family Radio, and you can watch the live video stream for this show.
And don't forget to download the AFR app if you don't have it. The AFR app on your cell phone. Then you can listen to us anywhere you go, as long as you have high-speed internet. You don't have to have a radio station to listen. You can listen on the app. It's very easy to do, and thousands of people access the app every day to listen to American Family Radio. All right, Fred, what's the first story?
Well, I'm sure you and Allison are glad that you went to Boston for your 40th wedding anniversary and not Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people are talking about the opening ceremony on Friday evening of the Olympic Games and a depiction. We had drag queens in a picture that was reminiscent of the painting of the Last Supper. And it was disgusting on so many levels. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are talking about it this morning, how they mocked Christianity in that people discussed it. We're going to talk about one company, CSpire, based here in the United States, said they're not going to run any more ads throughout the Olympic Games. They had been scheduled to do so. But the designers of such are, they're hearing from people that it upset Christians. You know, you wouldn't do that to Islam, or you wouldn't do it to Buddhism, or you wouldn't do it to Hinduism, but they felt comfortable. Really, was what it was, is mocking Christianity. One of those responding was Christian actress Candace Cameron Bure. And she had this to say, and kind of summed everything up the way a lot of people felt. Cut one.
Watch such an incredible and wonderful event that's going to take place over the next 2 weeks, and see the opening ceremonies completely blaspheme and mock the Christian faith with their interpretation of the Last Supper was disgusting. And it made me so sad.
All right, so I would venture to say most people didn't see this live, mm-hmm. listening to us right now. And I got mixed stories. I heard that this was not played live on NBC. On the NBC television network across America, it was on Peacock, which is their streaming service. I don't know that for sure.
Right.
But I know a lot.
I've heard different things.
Yes, and I heard, but I know there are a lot of people have seen clips of what happened. So, the Olympic Games, every time they have an open ceremony, most of the time it's the country's teams with somebody holding their flag. Mm-hmm. Walking out like in an Olympic stadium, for mm-hmm. example. Mm-hmm. And it's a parade of countries. It's a celebration of the world gathering for competition, for athletic competition. And it's usually just a joy and a delight to watch, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what France decided to do this time, they gave this homosexual activist, designer, or I don't know what all he is.
His name is Thomas Jolly.
Thomas Jolly. He's a Frenchman.
Mm-hmm.
They gave him a whole bunch of money, millions and millions of dollars, and said, put together for us a production that would be for the opening ceremonies. And so part of this wasn't the entire thing, but a part of the opening ceremonies, which included the teams coming down the river, the famous river Seine. Is that the way it's pronounced?
Seine River, yep.
In Paris, in boats, the teams came down in boats, but then the part of it was this really bizarre looking scene, set, which, as you say, had this morbidly obese woman playing the part of Jesus, and these drag queens to the side, each side of her, playing the part of the disciples. Now, they would say that wasn't what it was about, but it was clear that they were doing this. They were mocking the famous, yes. the Last Supper, and the famous painting, the world famous painting by Leonardo da Vinci, which is in Milan. I think it's in Milan. You know, still
right.
People can still see it today. So, as you see, it was clearly a pot shot at or an attack upon Christianity and Christians. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. this man would not have done this against Islam or probably any other religion in the world.
Nope.
If he had had a production which mocked the Prophet Muhammad,
Paris would still be on fire. I mean, Muslims in Paris, which is I think almost 10% of the population of Paris is Muslim. That city would be on fire.
Plus, I think, had they done such an open mockery of Muhammad, the Prophet Muhammad, which is the most revered religious figure in Islam, you would have had probably all the Muslim countries pull out.
Yep.
Yes.
Or some kind of, there would be there, it would be an international controversy unlike anything you've ever seen for the Olympics. But no, this guy decided not to do that. He wanted to go after Christianity.
Yeah.
Instead, of course, Christianity does not promote violent reaction to even blasphemy.
Right.
But, and I think that's why, and these LGBTQ activists, not all gays and lesbians, I would say the vast majority of gays and lesbians are just peace loving people.
Right.
You know,
they want to live their lives.
They want to live their lives, but you have the activist groups, and this guy's one of them, and they not only want to live their lives, they want to attack Christianity because they want to get rid of it. That's my view.
Yeah, and they hate God.
Right.
And if you're Tom Jolly and you have all this money for a budget and you've got to come up with some ideas for the opening ceremony, you have not an infinite number of choices, but you right. have a lot of different ways you can approach it. So what made Thomas Jolly choose this? What is it in his head that made him choose this as the way to open the Olympics? And to me, it is the rebellion mm-hmm. towards God and the hatred he has towards God, because he knows God does not approve of the homosexual lifestyle. And this was his 15 minutes of fame, Thomas Jolly, and this was his way to shake his fist at God.
Well, and then he tries to gaslight the world by saying, no, that wasn't my intention.
Right, to upset anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he has, also, what was the deal with the blue Smurf?
Well, there was...
The half-naked man.
Yeah. So part of the explanation on the part of some was that this was the Feast of Dionysus, which was a Greek god of revelry and partying, I guess you could say. But I've looked over the weekend, and I'm looking now. It is clear. There is a painting of a Feast of Dionysus with a crowd at a table. Okay, any big party is going to have a crowd at a table. It is clear the way these people are lined up at the opening ceremony. It was a mockery of the Lord's Supper by Da Vinci. So the blue Smurf, I think, was supposed to be the god Dionysus, which I guess was the way to show that we're in favor of partying and individual liberty that allows us to do whatever we want.
I think it was a demonstration, no fear of God.
Right.
Bottom line, no fear of God. Also, it was their reaction to true biblical Christianity, which still believes the Bible that says homosexuality is a sexual perversion. And they can't stand that. So this was his avenue, Jolly's avenue, to go at this. But it's not only just a Paris thing. Or some people said it was a depiction of how far Europe has fallen.
Right.
But it was fully accepted in the mainstream media in this country.
Yes.
Let me read you the opening line from the Associated Press story. They're not quoting anybody. This is the reporter. In an unprecedented display of inclusivity, drag queens took center stage at the Paris Olympics opening ceremony, showcasing the vibrant and influential role of the French LGBTQ plus community. Now, that's the way the Associated Press opened up their news story on this. They were celebrating this.
Well,
they
thought it was Jill Biden said it was spectacular.
Yes. First Lady Jill Biden. Spectacular, she said.
But she's a devout Catholic, though.
Yeah, right.
So, listen, I understand.
Kamala Harris also, the vice president, she was celebrating the
left is all in. They are all in on promoting the LGBTQ agenda. California signed into law, Gavin Newsom, a law that basically says if a kid in school at any age wants to transition to another gender, schools cannot tell parents.
Yep.
They are all in, folks. The choices are becoming very, very clear.
We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Fred here. We appreciate you listening to AFR. We've been talking about what happened at the Olympic Games opening ceremony, where a man, what was the fellow's name? Thomas Jolly.
Thomas Jolly.
He's a Frenchman. He's a gay man. He was hired to put on the production of the opening ceremony, and a part of that was a scene which he used drag queens, Last Supper mock. It was a mockery of the Last Supper painting by Leonardo da Vinci, and he was mocking Christianity. Go ahead.
I was going to say before we leave this subject.
Yeah.
So
well,
go ahead. I just want.
Well, I just
sure.
wanted real quickly yeah. Commend the company CSpire.
Mm-hmm.
They are a internet service provider. They're one of the largest.
And phone service.
I don't know if they're regional or national, but they're. I read where they're like the sixth largest internet service provider in the country. They immediately had this to say on their Twitter, the X. They said, the CSpire company said, quote, "We were shocked by the mockery of the Last Supper during the opening ceremonies of the Paris Olympics. CSpire will be pulling our advertising from the Olympics."
Mm. Great.
So a good response from
yes.
the secret
uh-huh.
corporation.
Uh-huh.
I don't blame the sponsors. Okay, people can disagree, and there are degrees of response to this. Okay,
right.
But I don't blame the sponsors of the Olympics in the sense that they had pre-knowledge of this. I'm sure if they had pre-knowledge of this, the vast majority of those companies would have said, no, we're not going to be a part of offending Christians. They're customers too.
Right.
But NBC television network, they didn't, they're liberals for the most part, but they didn't sign up for that either. This is primarily the fault of the Olympic committee. Whoever gave this man the money to do this, the French. It's the fault of the French government
uh-huh.
and the Olympic Committee for allowing this to go on.
Yep.
So,
yep.
What did you want to say?
I do want to say, Steve Jordahl texted and said that CSpire is based in Mississippi. So, okay. But I did ask whether it's regional or national provider. I did want to make mention of one thing that irritated me over the weekend almost as much as the opening ceremony, and that is on X, formerly known as Twitter. Christian leaders and Christians posting, well, the world's going to world. Why are you shocked that a homosexual director produced this? You know, folks, the world is going to be the world. Sinners are going to sin. And what irritated me about that is, first of all, it implies that Christians should do nothing. when this kind of thing
happens.
And should
not be outraged.
And should not be outraged. But second of all, I never hear these kind of people say that about racism. Well, hey, look, racists are going to racist. You know, why speak out against it when sinners are going to sin? They don't ever say it.
I see you.
Except on this issue, on homosexuality.
Okay, gotcha.
They're always saying, listen, this is sinners. This is what sinners do. Stop complaining. Why are you surprised? Okay, maybe I'm not surprised, but that doesn't mean I shouldn't be outraged, and it doesn't mean we should do nothing. It doesn't mean we should be apathetic about it, because you're not apathetic, Christian leader,
right,
about racism. You're not apathetic about sexual trafficking.
Right.
Hey, I don't hear anyone
right.
saying, well, sinners are going to sin. Okay, so let's drop the attitude that Christians should do nothing about things. If we live in, and France is a democratic / Republican country, people ought to be able to speak up and say, no, we're not going to do this next time. And there's nothing wrong with speaking up in this country. I get tired of that attitude.
Right. I agree with you. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, we do a lot of things here at American Family Association and American Family Radio. In order to do things that we do, like expanding our radio network, it takes takes money. Are you supposed to say that?
No, that's your dad always said we treat our listeners like grown-ups.
Right. Takes money.
Yeah.
And so in order to, and praise God, God's always provided through his people for this ministry. We had never been in debt except for one time, and that was only for 3 months. That was early on when Dad had to buy a building. But other than that, we've been debt-free, and we owe no man nothing but love, so to speak. Not so to speak, but that's in the scripture, right?
Right.
So one of the ways that people can benefit themselves and also benefit the ministry of American Family Association, American Family Radio, is something called a charitable gift annuity. A charitable gift annuity. And we wanted to tell you what that is for just a moment. And joining us is Chelsea Wildman, who is married to Wesley. And also has three of my prized possessions.
Three of your grandchildren. Yes, sir.
Three of my grandchildren who are a delight. So Chelsea, tell us AFA Foundation. Tell us what the AFA Foundation does, and then I want you to describe exactly what a charitable gift annuity is.
Yes, absolutely. So our foundation is the stewardship branch of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You can visit us online at afafoundation.net to learn more about us. And also, you can click that Contact Us button if you would like more information sent to your email, or you can give us a call. We can schedule a conference call if that is needed. But our foundation exists to help the ministry move forward for generations to come. So we mainly deal with charitable gift annuities, as you mentioned. We also deal with outright stock gifts, and any type of large, you know, beneficiary gift. Folks can contact us, and we can give them our information.
We don't take livestock.
Yes, no, yes.
So, people have tried to
brokers.
Donate livestock yes. before, but we don't have a place
yes.
for them.
Right.
Huh? Anyway,
yes.
go ahead.
I wish we had land. I would love a cow
yeah.
and
right.
some chickens.
Right.
But
right.
anyway, but for the ministry's purposes, we can provide wills examples as well. So there's lots of different ways that we can help our donors in their retirement planning.
What is a charitable gift annuity? What does that do?
Yes. So our charitable gift annuity, it's a gift $2,000 or above, so the minimum is $2,000, and it goes up from there according to our donor situation. They would gift any amount, $2,000 or above, to AFA, and in exchange, they would receive a fixed income for life, and that income percentage is based on how old they are at the time they give the gift and when they start to receive those funds. So obviously, the sooner you give a gift and any amount of time that you wait, it's going to be a higher percentage
for you. And then when the person passes away, the whatever's left goes to our ministry.
Absolutely, okay. Yes. And you get some great tax benefits from that as well.
Of course, when you're passed on, you don't care about that.
Right, right. But right.
You're talking about while you're alive.
Yes, right. Yes. On the front end of that gift, you get a partial tax deduction as well as partial tax-free income when you start to receive those payments. So that is a benefit. And also, their payment, it's a fixed amount, so it's not going to go up or down with the market. A lot of our donors do enjoy that. So it's not unpredictable. It's going to be the same for the rest of their life.
Okay, so if you're interested in anything Chelsea's talked about here, wills, estate, or a charitable gift annuity, I know a lot of people listening right now, at least some of them have already made a charitable gift annuity, and they're getting a fixed income every month till they pass as a result, and then that benefits our ministry too here, a charitable gift annuity. It's not for everybody, but it's something to look into. Again, what is the website for people to read more about all you've just discussed here?
Yes, afafoundation.net. You can also reach out to us by phone, 1-800-326-4543, extension 345.
AFAFoundation.net, AFAFoundation.net. Thank you, Chelsea.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, appreciate it very much. Chelsea Wildman joining us to talk about the work at the AFA Foundation here. Very, very important part of our work and our ministry. You know, helps us to be able to count on revenue to come in to support our ministry for the future. And so
right.
That's very, very important work that we do here at the AFA Foundation. Next story, Fred.
Well, I want to introduce the next story by taking a little trip down memory lane. And we're going to go back to 1983.
That lane doesn't run as far as it used to in my mind. go ahead. I'm sorry.
Bada-boom.
Yeah.
Then Senator Joe Biden. Someone had suggested to him that the Supreme Court should be reformed. Changes should be made. Term limits. Listen to what Senator Joe Biden had to say about that idea back in 1983. Cut 12.
President Roosevelt clearly had the right to send to the United States Senate and the United States Congress a proposal to pack the court. It was totally within his right to do that. He violated no law. He was legalistically absolutely correct. But it was a bonehead idea. It was a terrible, terrible mistake to make, and it put in question, for an entire decade, the independence of the most significant body, including the Congress in my view, the most significant body in this country, the Supreme Court of the United States of America.
All right, that was 1983. Well, in just a few hours in Austin, Texas, President Joe Biden, he is going to announce his what he is calling the necessity to reform the United States Supreme Court. Now, we know the Democrats are really upset about the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade. Joe Biden is really upset that there are six conservatives. Some right. would argue that number. There are six conservatives on the court right now. So here's what he's going to suggest. And actually, he made his points in a Washington Post editorial this morning. But here's what he'd like to do. He says, we got to end lifetime appointments. So he's suggesting term limits, that the president would appoint a justice every 2 years to spend 18 years in service on the court. So there would be term limits. He also wants Congress to pass legislation establishing a code of ethics for justices that would require justices to disclose gifts, refrain from public political activity, and recuse themselves from cases in which they or their spouses have financial or other conflicts of interest, and a few other things also. And so this is all about, he's upset with the United States Supreme Court. He doesn't like the fact there are six conservatives on there, that Donald Trump, when he was president, got to choose three replacements. And so, but the bottom line in all of this, guys, is that he may suggest all of this. He may be venting about this today, but what he wants is not going to happen.
Well, I have several problems with President Biden. First of all, the 1983 comments. I do not think the Supreme Court was intended by the Founding Fathers to be the most important branch. it may have become that over the years of accruing power. Activist judges will do that.
Yes.
All right. But the Congress is always supposed to be, the people's representatives are supposed to be, that's why Article 1 is Congress. It's the largest article. And so the people's representatives, that's supposed to be the most important branch. They represent the people. They're the people's voice in terms of federal process and power. Then comes the executive, then the judicial branch, very small in terms of the Constitution. So that's my first problem with what he said. Second problem with what he said is that the left, the Democratic Party, all up until the last probably 10 years, were all in favor of a very powerful Supreme Court when they held the majority.
Yes.
Okay, in terms of ideological outlook.
Mm-hmm.
They were all for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now that there are six conservatives, because of Donald Trump from 2016 to 2020, he appointed three Supreme Court justices. And valid point. Some people may argue that all six are truly conservative, but be that as it may, now the Democrats want to reform the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Because their folks aren't on the court.
Their team members
yeah.
only make up three of the court right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I have to say about what Joe Biden is suggesting. I don't think this is going to go anywhere.
No.
Tim, I know you said in our one of our meetings this morning that you didn't think that this is going to happen because Congress, listen, you have to amend the Constitution. Well, no, right. You don't have to amend the Constitution to do what he's suggesting. The Constitution does give the power to Congress to actually dissolve the federal judiciary.
Mm-hmm.
Congress could do that and set up a new one. So they do have the right to do this, but it is so politically charged. I don't think it's going anywhere.
Listen, okay, we in the United States, we can't start changing the rules. I don't care if it's a Republican arguing for that or a Democrat arguing for that. We start changing the rules, there's going to be a civil war.
Yeah.
You start packing the Supreme Court. If the Democrats say, okay, we don't like the makeup of the Supreme Court because we don't have the numbers. Okay, then let's change. I'm just saying theoretically, if they could, then let's make the Supreme Court 11. So that now they would have to have a Democrat president appoint, still have to do that, but, appoint those members to get to 11.
Right.
They would do that when they have a president and a Senate.
Yes.
That they could get by with it, and they would add two more. So, and there's been talk of adding D.C., District of Columbia, and adding two senators there, which would be far left Democrats, and Puerto right. Rico, which would be, I don't know if they would be far left Democrats, but Democrats probably would be fair. See how this talk of changing right. the rules. So you can't change the rules of the game, because you're losing.
Yes.
To try to change things, you got to change things through the ballot box. And I'm not saying the Democrats can't do that. You know, our country's 50-50. We're 50-50 Democrat, Republican, for the most part. There are some independents, but that's been the makeup of our country the last 30 years or so. So this is an idea by Biden, floated by Biden, about how to reshape the Supreme Court just to, to pander to liberal voters.
It's election season.
Even though he's not running.
Yeah.
And I would say this, too. This is my opinion. I can't prove this. To me, it's an implied threat. Okay. You remember when Chuck Schumer stood up on the steps of the Supreme Court?
Yep.
And said, hey, Kavanaugh, mm-hmm. you know.
Called them by their last name.
Yeah, we're coming for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Going to hit you hard or something to that effect.
Yeah, you're going to reap the whirlwind
yes,
or something.
Yes,
so I've
Gorsuch
and Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
And so I think there's an implied threat to the Supreme Court that if you don't stop making conservative judicial decisions, we will clean your clock.
Yep.
They're also mad in particular at Clarence Thomas. They've been after him for years.
Mm-hmm.
They have some kind of argument that he's compromised because he's been on trips with people who are rich and wealthy. And they, anyway.
And his wife has spoken out about conservative issues.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, but, you know, I don't know if I like the idea. I'm just, can we speak freely here?
Yeah, absolutely.
Of lifetime appointments for federal courts. I don't know. When we did that, I know the reasoning for that by our founding fathers and the constitutional issues about here is you want federal judges to be unencumbered by politics. You don't want that to factor in. So if they have a lifetime appointment, then they don't have to think about who's the next governor, who's the next president going to be, whether I'm going to stay on the court or not.
Right.
Those kind of considerations.
Yeah, you don't want to have to run, quote unquote,
for
a position on the Supreme Court. Yeah, because that brings politics and political deal making into it. But I'm with you though too. I do think there ought to be some sort of cap on how long.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
They can serve because a lifetime appointment. Now you can't impeach them. There is a constitutional
remedy,
but the problem is what Joe Biden is now saying is that I'll tell you what our remedy is. We're not going to impeach anybody. We're just going to put people on who are going to rule the way we want them to rule, and that defeats the whole purpose of having.
I don't know if that'll change anytime soon. Talking about sort of a limit for how long a federal judge, including a Supreme Court justice, can sit. I think there should be a limit on who can run for president. You know, in Tim's world, I think 75 is a cutoff.
Oh, you're saying age limit.
For me?
Yeah.
75, no. Nobody over 75 should be running for the hardest job in the world.
And that's not to say that some 75-year-olds aren't up to the task. You're just saying in general.
Don't you have to retire as a pilot when you're 60 or 65?
60 years old.
Well, I'm 61.
And there is, for running for president, there's a limit in terms of how young you can be.
Yeah.
It's 35, right? 35 years old. Yeah, so obviously there's some sense in which age plays a part. And you're saying, in general, 75 is getting too old to be.
To me, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, to me. And I think most people would probably agree with that. But, I mean, Joe Biden's, what, 81?
81.
81. Donald Trump's 80. He's 78.
78.
He's 78. But, anyway, 75.
And he is a freak of nature, Donald Trump.
Right.
In terms of his strength and stamina and apparently, it's, you know.
Well, he's got a healthy diet.
I was going to say.
The Big Macs,
apparently
the
Big
fries.
Macs just have no real
effect on
effects.
Him. Donald Trump may be
he's an exception.
He may be the exception, but I'm just talking about, and this will probably never happen, but I'm just saying, if you've got a rule about how the minimum age, you say it's 35, right?
Yeah.
JFK was.
He was 42 or 43, I think. When
how old is Vance?
39.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the VP.
Yeah.
Choice for the Republicans, Vance. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Vance is
J.D. Vance.
J.D. Vance, the senator from
Ohio,
who is the VP choice for Donald Trump. He's been out on the campaign trail.
Mm-hmm.
And He's been taking some arrows from the left.
Yes, he made a comment, childless cat ladies, referring to.
When did he do that? He did that a couple of 3 years ago or something.
Yes, he did.
In an interview with Laura Ingraham or something?
Yes, and the Democrats are bringing it back. So he was asked about that this weekend. Here's how he responded to that, cut eight.
What I do think is true, Trey, and this goes to the heart of what I was talking about 3 years ago in those comments, but it's going to be something I continue to talk about, is that the left has increasingly become explicitly anti-child and anti-family. They've encouraged young families not to have children at all because of concerns over climate change. They've suggested that people who do have children are somehow being selfish, when I think being a parent is actually the most selfless thing that you can do, and again, really does transform your perspective. So this is not a criticism and was never a criticism, Trey, of everybody without children. That is a lie of the left. It is a criticism of the increasingly anti-parent and anti-child attitude of the left.
Listen, J.D. Vance is proving to me he can hold his own.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He's a very intelligent man. He is served in the Marine Corps for 3 years, by the way.
Yes.
And he's 39 years of age. He's a Harvard grad, speaking of Harvard. And he graduated from Ohio State, I think, in 2 years or something like that. And it's and he did all that without the assistance of a strong family foundation. You know, we know his story, hillbilly
elegy.
So, and he says that getting married and having children, and changed his worldview basically to a large extent, or moderated it, and he's. Catholic, I think he's Catholic now.
He converted to Catholicism.
Yeah.
He actually, during the convention, he said his wife helped him, who's Hindu, helped him to convert to Catholicism.
Hmm.
Interesting story.
Really?
Yeah.
But now Kamala Harris has come out publicly, hasn't she, saying that young people should consider not having children to save the planet.
Say it's part of the green agenda, yep. And it's very real.
You know, the birth rate in the U.S. I saw the other day is down below 2 now.
We're not keeping up to what we need to be doing.
We don't have the birth rate in the U.S. is below, what do you call it, where you replace?
Replacement.
Replacement numbers.
Yep.
All right, we'll be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Fred here. Thank you for listening. You can send us an email at comments@afr.net. Comments@afr.net. More in the news coming up in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.